The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes or at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. I hope all's well wherever you are here in Studio 66. We're not in Studio 66. We're in a separate room. As a matter of fact, the very studio where the Dave Dameshek Football Program launched. What, about 7 years ago? Anywho, we're looking forward to the title games on Sunday. And as a matter of fact, I decided we talked to Willie McGinnis, as we've been doing these last few weeks here, and it was such a compelling conversation. I said, listen, if any weekend demanded that we do an extra podcast for you, we do it this week. So Willie McGinnis and I kibitzed for a half an hour about the Patriots, the Steelers, the Jags. It's great stuff. You're going to want to tune in for that. And by the way, if you've heard my prediction about the Patriots and the possibility that they might change head coaches or the head coach might decide to change his location, I float that to Willie McGinnis. His response on that is interesting, too. Also, our sideline reporters have been very busy this week. Eddie Spaghetti, our chief sideline reporter, caught up with Brandon Marshall, not the Jets receiver, nay, the Super Bowl champion linebacker from the Denver Broncos. They commiserated about having famous names, but being the less famous version of that famous name. And, of course, Brandon Marshall, I always remember him fondly because I met him 45 minutes before the Super Bowl. Maurice was a gentleman and said, hey, he came. Brandon Marshall ran off the sideline. I mean, I ran off the field, I should say, 45 minutes before Super Bowl 50 to say hello to Maurice. And Maurice is a gentleman, so he said, hey, this is my friend Sheck. And I'm shaking hands with Brandon Marshall saying, good luck in the Super Bowl, man. It was very weird and surreal and borderline inappropriate on Brandon Marshall's part. Where was his focus? Fortunately, things worked out for him, so the media couldn't take him down after the fact. So anyway, spaghetti with Brandon Marshall. Then sideline reporter Savvy catches up with superstar linebacker for the Carolina Panthers, Thomas Davis. Great stuff there. Another slightly, I don't think we celebrate Thomas Davis enough, but alongside Luke Kuechly, this has been a long run for two dominant linebackers, and that defense's rise, return to prominence, was a major factor, obviously, in Cam and company getting back to the postseason this year. All right, enough flapping my gums. It's time for me to flap my gums with Willie McGinnis. At that, let's break down the title game and look back at the divisional round. Here he comes, everybody, number 55, Willie McGinnis. All right, here we go. Of course, back last week we had a grand conversation. Here he is, the legend from USC and the Cleveland Browns and another place too. I brought you something in celebration of the other team's divisional round victory over the Tennessee Titans. You love those cookies, don't you? It's Willie McGinnis, everybody. What's happening?
I do. What happened? Something happened?
Nothing happened. You won a game. I was happy for you.
We won a game, but we kind of figured we were going to win a game.
Oh, I see. Right. I see. That's how it's going to be. Now I take the
Well, no, no.
Back.
Keep this because I want to kind of – this is actually symbolic to the conversation.
How so?
Because the Pittsburgh Steelers are kind of crumbling apart and right. Usually a cookie
– Cut off his microphone, please. I didn't sign up for this.
A cookie crumbles and the Pittsburgh – what's going on in Pittsburghville, man?
You tell me.
The offensive coordinator all of a sudden isn't good enough, and they're talking about firing Mike T, which I think is a huge mistake.
That's insane talk. But, of course, I think a major aspect of that is, in a vacuum, you would look at it and say, well, the guy's won double-digit games 4 years in a row. He won 13 this year.
One of the best offenses in the league. You guys scored 38 points against one of the best defenses. What's wrong with Haley? What happened?
Listen.
I mean, I
hate to say it. It doesn't give me any pleasure to say it, but you know as well as I do that Mike Tomlin and other successful teams, forget teams like, you know, whatever, they're the also-rans, you know who they are, but the teams that are legitimate contenders for the Lombardi are, of course, going to be compared to your guys. So that's the measuring stick. And when you don't
– using the word team, I think I've been listening to sports talk all week, and it was like that was the problem. It was more about – individualism and not team going into this game, because they are, when they play together and everybody's on the same page, they are one of the most deadliest, one of the best teams in the league. But they just say it wasn't the feel going into this Jacksonville game. It was more about individualism.
I guess I agree with that. We'll talk about the Steelers.
Yeah, we'll get to them.
We can get to them.
We got a lot of time. They're on vacation right
Let's
now.
Let's talk about your guys. Let's talk about the title game weekend. And it occurs to me, I'm not the first one to observe, that you have the GOAT in Brady.
Okay.
And then you have Blake Bortles, Case Keenum, and Nick Foles starting NFC title games. We'll get to who you think's going to win that AFC game, but
hilarious.
What if the Jags win that, and then you have a Super Bowl with bum QBs on both sides? And no matter what, none of those guys outside of Brady is a top 10 quarterback, maybe not a top half of the starting quarterbacks in the NFL. Any of those three guys would be described that way. If the Patriots go down, do you suspect here in a copycat league that everybody will suddenly get off of, well, maybe we don't need a dominant
Absolutely
QB.
Not.
Why
Absolutely
not?
Absolutely not. You do need great QB play or adequate QB play in this league. And I think when you look at the Jags, right, that's the anomaly. That's the team who probably had one of the worst quarterback play. But remember, the Denver Broncos won a Super Bowl as of late.
Well, that's the point.
With poor quarterback play. But to get there, remember the run that Brock went on, 5-2, played really good, and they did just enough. But you got to have the right mixture in the other components. You got to have a great defense. You got to take the ball away. You got to score on defense. You got to have great special teams, and you got to have a great run game, or at least a sufficient running game to get it to third and manageable. I wouldn't clump Case Keenum into.
I know how he's played.
I wouldn't clump him into that, and I wouldn't clump Nick Foles, because Nick Foles came in for a few weeks and kept it together, but it was Carson Wentz. It was great quarterback play.
That's that absolutely got him to fair. The point. Eagles are obviously right. Not the number one seed if Nick right. Foles starts in September all the way through. That's a fair point. As far as that goes, if you really go through piece by piece and you talk about team and the sum being greater than the parts, I mean, that's the story of the right. 21st century New England Patriots. There are some high-end guys, and I'm not saying this because you're seated to my immediate left, but outside of you, Randy Moss for a little bit.
Wes Welker.
Well, but Wes Welker describes the Patriots. They're not guys that are these high. You are the anomaly with the Patriots because there aren't high pedigree guys on that roster.
Here's the thing. We said that about Seattle. Remember when everybody started talking about their receivers, they called them pedestrian. Well, you have to give guys an opportunity to become superstars, right? Isn't that what happened with Doug Baldwin? They called him pedestrian. He took it personal. Now he's one of the best receivers in the league. I mean, it just doesn't happen when you just put a guy in there. So sometimes it takes time for guys to develop into that. Some guys will, some guys won't. But you got to give guys the opportunity before we start, before they become superstars.
It's funny because I keep describing this Jacksonville defense. What distinguishes them from the Seahawks is that the Seahawks and Patriots have a lot in common, which is they have a lot of guys undrafted.
Guys with chips on their shoulders.
That's it, right?
Right.
But the Jags don't have that. They just believe that we're the best. Look at us. We're all five-star studs.
Well, they've had an opportunity to draft really high for a number of years. So if you can't acquire like really good talent, then something's wrong in your front office. And they've been able to do that. So you look at their secondary, you look at the guys they got in free agency, I think that plays a part in it too, with Calais Campbell, Marcel Darius, Boye, bringing guys over to add with the draft picks and the nucleus you've been
and
building.
And Ramsey and Fowler. I mean, they're studs.
But I gave you four guys. Malik Jackson, that's come from somewhere else. Barry Church, that's come from somewhere else. So you got five or six guys on that defense that's – or free agents that come from another place, and you've drafted really well with Ramsey and Miles Jack and Fowler and guys like that. So with our success in New England, I think with other teams, when you look around the league, you can't do it all through the draft, else the Cleveland Browns will have the best team in the league, right? Because they draft
for sure.
They draft number one or top five every single year.
Well, forget that, because they are, and no offense to the Browns, but they're also Rams at this point. The Steelers are not. And if you look at the roster and put them side by side, you look at the starting 22. Make your smile at me all you want, McGinnis. I'm telling
point.
You something.
What's the point? I want to get your point about
it's ultimately a compliment. I'm not waffling anything.
No, roster, about the roster.
The roster.
Pittsburgh's roster.
If you look at the starting 22, of the two teams, Steelers and Patriots. Okay. How many Patriots, piece for piece, are better than the Steelers? Gronk?
Why, because they didn't go high in the draft? Or are we talking on paper?
Because yeah, they got high the way these things are typically measured, yeah.
Because their best player, the GOAT, you call him, was a sixth-round draft pick. So now we can't really measure by how high you went. It's how productive you've been.
I guess I'm getting at the difference in coaching is hard to fathom 15 years or however long Belichick's been there. All the success, they're two wins away from another one. And it really is remarkable that he sort of found this I don't know what he figured out in New England that has allowed him, with Tom Brady accepted. I mean, early on, you, Brewski, and then Rodney Harrison, Richard Seymour, and so on.
You guys
were defensively loaded. I guess I'm coming back around to this thing about maybe I've been duped. I'm one of the millions who got duped that thought this quarterback league thing must be valid because look at who keeps winning the Super Bowls. But when you look at it, Brady's early rings are owed at least as much to the defense as they are to any of the
offense. Part in it, but there were some two-minute drives in those games that he got us in.
You got to make plays as the quarterback. You can't hide your QB forever.
In pressure situations when you need to put the game on your back, and we have not seen Blake Bortles do that. We have seen Case Keenum do that. Nick Foles had a year, a small sample size where he had – some of that, but it hasn't been consistent. So we always compare the great quarterbacks. We saw Ben do that this week. We saw him do it time and time again. And we were just talking about this in our production meeting. He made some of the most ridiculous throws in the clutch with some of the best coverage guys, shoulder to shoulder, hip to hip. I mean, there's no other place you could have put some of those balls he threw. And I'm sitting there looking like, this is what, when we talk about great and elite and the game is on the line in the pressure situation, this is what I talk about. Not somebody that could do it for a couple of years and they're out of there or a few games. This is what I'm talking about, against the best. Mm-hmm. So that's why the word great and elite is sometimes overused, because I want to see it in those situations.
All of that is fascinating to hear from you, and it's sickening, I think, to Steelers fans to look at it and say, all that talent, you have the best, and I don't think there's any debate, anybody who would try to summon a debate at this point about Antonio Brown versus anyone else in the league at this point. As a matter of fact, you've been around for a while now. You've seen a fair amount of them. You've seen Jerry Rice, Randy Moss, T.O. Where's A.B. rank
right
in that group?
He'll definitely be a first-round Hall of Famer.
Let's get
He's right up there in pound for pound. And the reason why I like him, I mean, separate outside of Randy Moss and some of these other guys. Well, Jerry Rice did it, but Antonio Brown runs every single route. He runs the entire route tree, but he runs it. He can run it from any position. So he's not just the slot. He's not just the X. He's not just the Z. He can play all of them, and he runs every single route. That's what makes him so special. All the receivers can't do that. Like, Chris Carter was a guy that could probably do that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you have certain – Jerry Rice, of course, was a guy you could do
that. Keenan Allen can do that.
Keenan Allen can do that. There's certain guys that can do that. Everybody can.
Randy Moss cannot do that. He is, in fact, the freak. Right. He's a great athlete,
but I don't think he would run. There's certain routes he didn't want to run.
Right.
You know, he didn't want to run.
I guess my point is, I think at this point, Antonio Brown, at worst, is the third best wide receiver of the Super Bowl.
Well, he still has a long way.
I know he does.
And I'm not ready. Like, and Megatron is another guy. You know what I mean?
AB over Megatron.
No, I'm just saying Megatron's another guy because he's so hard to defend because of speed, height, and all those different things. And he ran every route.
In spite of that, and the best running back, this team they've gone to a title game together. They're not even going to get to a Super Bowl,
perhaps? You know what it was?
We don't even know what it's going to be.
Give me the main reason why they didn't win that game. And I'm going to tell you my main reason.
The main reason. Boy, that's an interesting question.
Just one thing.
I mean, one thing I will point to, I don't know what your response is going to be for the overall 60 minutes, but I thought that was a humongous call by Marrone to go for it on fourth and goal from the 1 yard line, because I figured they'll kick the field goal.
He's looking at his defense. He believes in that defense.
But I think that put the Steelers on their heels from the word go. Wow, they're gonna press this thing. They're gonna play bold kind of ball today. Uh-oh. Well,
they didn't come to lose. So when you look at, hey, we're gonna go for three or the touchdown, we're gonna win this game or we're gonna lose it. It's not gonna be close. And it ended up being close. For me, when I watched the game and I watched the game again, I'll probably watch it again because I want to study the Jags a little bit more. It came down to situational football. And a lot of that has to do with coaching.
Everybody, that is what everybody on the banks of the Three Rivers is pointing at right now. I can assure you of that.
There's a lot of calls. There's a lot of situations that I thought the Steelers could have probably did a little different. Now, we gave them a better opportunity to win that football game. Besides the great play, there's some things you can't account for. There's players that go out and make plays. I can give you the blueprint and you can go out and execute it, but the players got to execute it. But I just think when the game became really close and the Steelers had a chance to win that game, the situational aspect of it didn't live up to expectations, which I thought they could have did a better job.
I mean, I agree with you. Everybody's talking about those two fourth and ones. I thought in the second half, I was certain that they were going to – and I've gotten conditioned to it. You know, people are ignoring the fact that the premise under which Todd Haley came into the Steelers was – turn him into more of a pocket passer. We can't continue to play season after season with him going down for 4 or 6 weeks every season. And he has gotten the ball out of his hands more quickly than he used to. He is a different quarterback. I compared it earlier to sort of the mid-career transformation of Michael Jordan from this freak athlete attacking the rim every possession to suddenly being this mid-range assassin. Roethlisberger's gone from a guy who just keeps extending the play. You can't tackle him.
Did you see him? I mean, he's running. He's fake flipping.
He's running
for the first. And then he's smart enough. He's so talented. And he's so smart. He knows the game. The lateral, it was crazy.
He turned into a big 1985 QB.
Everybody stopped. It was like, oh, that's illegal. No, it's not.
It's not. I know. Even amidst, as I'm watching their fate get sealed, even within that, I thought, that's pretty cool that Seven can do that.
If anybody thinks Ben is done, then they're crazy.
Well,
he has a lot
now
of
they
change.
All right, we'll talk.
He has a lot of football left. I mean, but we could talk other stuff.
I am surprised. Todd Haley, we can debate him. I do think at some point that you have 26 back there. Nothing makes me crazier than in any short yardage situation when you have Le'Veon Bell, that offensive line, and Big Ben who can go play action and kill you for doing it. Why you would ever take away the threat of that by going into a shotgun formation? Why you don't put him under center with the fullback in front of 26? At least let that threat exist, and then go play action.
Like how Jacksonville did?
Well, the Steelers did it on 4th-and-1 in the second half, and they tried to throw it to Juju, and Bouye grabbed Juju. It was interference. But anyway,
right. It
was interference.
It was interference.
That wasn't.
Okay.
It was interference.
All right.
We're not talking about the Steelers.
I'm not trying
to talk to you about
Let's
some
talk
other
about some relevant teams.
I mean, that goes too far.
Well, I'm just saying, for this weekend.
What scares you about the Jacksonville Jaguars?
That they can do pretty much anything on defense within a scheme. So if they want to drop 7 and just rush 4, they're one of the best. If they want to man up across and load the box and bring those blitz zones and bring blitzes, they can do it. If they want to jump in the zone and just sit back, their linebackers can match up with the running backs. Now, their linebackers matched up pretty well, but Miles Jack came up with an interception. He played a lot of that coverage at UCLA. Telvin Smith did an excellent job.
Man, the wheels, they took away because I kept saying, you got to
take
the check
down. They didn't take it all away because Bell made a great catch.
Yes,
I mean, Ben threw a dime. That was one-on-one. I mean, I don't see –
The throw and the catch.
The throw and the catch beat
crazy.
Great coverage. It just didn't matter. But they're able to do so many different things
because of
their guys.
Their lateral speed, though, I mean, I thought, well, they're going to have to – you can't let 7 play hero and keep trying – and he did it all day long,
but
throwing
he did
the
deep
ball.
He did what he needed to do.
I didn't think he could do that. I thought they had to keep taking the checkdowns to 26.
But anyway, this is about Jacksonville.
I know, that's what we're talking about. So how it transfers into New England.
They're so fast. I think – if I'm New England, I'm figuring out how can I use their speed against them? How can I use misdirection plays to get them? Because Telvin Smith, once he sees, he's gone. They're flying to the ball. So you got to try to figure out how to use that against them. The other thing is spread them out sideline to sideline. You already know this because you're a Steeler fan. When we came up there and played against those great defenses, we want no parts of those guys in the box. We knew what was coming. Spread them out, take them out of their element, make them do other things. So I think you got to do that. And then you guys showed some chinks in the armor. You guys showed that with Vance McDonald, you can score points with the tight end.
That's where I was just going to go.
You can move the tight end around. Church and Gibson, if you can get one-on-one matchup with Gronk, I think that is going to be the key. But here's my big matchup that I'm going to reveal right now, and I'm doing it for the first time, even before Total Access. If I'm Jacksonville, I am lining up Jalen Ramsey on Gronk. That is the matchup
I
want to see.
55.
I want to see that.
That's the way it should be. What are you? If you don't do that, it's loco. I mean, who on the Patriots?
Well, they got guys. Miles Jack can cover. You got Telvin Smith that can cover. You got two safeties. But did you see what McDonald was doing to those safeties?
Yes. Well, you can't. Right. You cannot. I can't imagine that the Jags intend to try to cover Gronk. Especially given the evidence they were just given by Vance McDonald. And also practically those linebackers are going to be consumed with trying to figure out
the backs,
right? Deion Lewis, et cetera. They're going to have to worry about those guys, but I'm with you. You got to go Ramsey or maybe Bouye, but makes sense.
No, Bouye has to go with Cooks. Remember Bouye.
That's right.
Bouye was locked up with Antonio Brown. So I think they continue to do that.
I'm just saying,
I want to see it. Like, I would pay to see that.
Doug Marrone, 55, and Damashek agree.
We're telling you.
You better do it.
We just want to see the matchup. We're not going to say who's going to win. I just want to see the matchup.
Do you really believe in your heart of hearts? You know, we've talked about it. Curse of Sposta. The curse is squarely on those Patriots. I mean, the Jags are – there are a lot of people who live they live a little east of our state here who do not think the Jags are going to win that game. And they think they're going to lose it by, more than a touchdown.
8 or 9 points, something crazy like that.
So they have the curse of Sposta on them. There's all this noise that we've talked about from, the national media and beyond. People name-dropping you.
What do they do when they
hear the noise? People
in
Boston.
What happens when we hear the noise, though?
Is it that simple? I mean, this is the mystique of the Patriots, is that you guys don't talk stuff and you
– Is it
– That's it?
Or is some of this stuff put out there so the attention can be channeled somewhere else outside of the game? Like, all we talked about all week was all the noise, right? And then we go to the game and it wasn't even close. I mean, is there some type of genius into that? Or
somebody said this to me, and I think it's a great remark. The Steelers are chomping at the bit since that game to talk about, well, Mike Mitchell shouldn't have been doing this stuff in the pregame, and this guy was flapping his gums too much and everything else, because it allows them to talk about something other than the fact that they just flat out got physically beaten by the Jaguars.
Hey, man, two times. Twice.
I know, but it's not. But don't act like I didn't see that this was a possibility. Do you think the Jaguars – realistically, with Blake Bortles, with a Super Bowl trip on the line, can actually go into Foxborough and vanquish the dynasty? Come on.
I think it'll be tough. I think it'll be tough. And the Patriots, they have experience at going against these type of defenses. With Seattle in the Super Bowl, with the Giants, when Mr. Coughlin, who's upstairs, was there, with that type of defense. With the Denver Broncos a couple of years ago in the AFC Championship, like great cover guys, great front seven. They have experience. I think they have the game plan. They know what to do. The question is, you have to go out and execute it against these animals on defense, because that's what they are. They have no conscience. They're aggressive.
It really is scary.
They got a chip on their shoulder. They already know nobody's going to pick them, probably. They're finding every little thing to get motivated by. They're waiting on a soundbite. They're not going to get it. I think Brady just talked about the defense, and Telvin Smith tweeted out, yeah, that's the oldest trick in the book, paying us compliments, trying to build us up. We're not falling for it. So you already know the mentality going in. You already know the mentality. So it'll be a great matchup. It's going to come down to, though, I thought Blake Bortles and Hackett, I think that's his offensive coordinator, did a great job of designing plays to fit what he is capable of doing. He threw the ball down the field a couple times.
All set up by play action from the first drive on.
No, I'm talking about the long play to Cole.
Yeah.
And then the other play to Marquise Lee. Now, the play action is what really won them the game. And he was feeding the tight ends and backs. I mean, you throw a swing pass to Yilton, he goes 40 yards. That can't happen. Not when you're
that's,
in zone.
I feel bad to say it, but that's on Willie Gay.
Right.
He so took, that, I don't know what was
well, I'm just
what
saying, that's
got,
that's
got lost
situ-
out
that,
there.
That's
yes.
situational right, football. Right. Know the situation. Let him catch it. Break up. Make a tackle for 5 yards. You're off the field. Mm-hmm. Doesn't turn into a 40-yarder. So I think the Patriots defensively, Matt Patricia understands what they'll try and do offensively. And I think their defense is playing pretty well. Nobody's talking about them, but they're playing really well. They've, since week five, the number one team in the league have not given up points. So I think this game, though, Blake is going to have to score some points. And I'm not talking about, like, the play action. I'm talking about he's going to have to make plays in some crucial situations. So we'll see what happens.
I agree with that. And one more thing that I just recall from the 2015 AFC title game in Denver – it seemed like that same premise. They put Tlaib on Gronk, and they silenced him for most of the game.
Showing that today until access. Well, don't give it all away.
Gronk was awesome, obviously, down the stretch. He made one of the three or four best catches I've ever seen in my life.
He was doubled on that play.
On that fourth
down. He was double teamed on that play.
Don't tell me about any other tight end in history. Go watch that play in the clutch. That's fourth down. He catches it with guys draped on his arms and everything. But anyway, for the majority of the game, it worked Tlaib on Gronk.
Got to have a mixture.
And it was all those – they all day. Go back and watch that game. The Patriots try to hit the wheel route all day, and the linebackers – go ahead, Tom. You want to hold on to that ball for an extra? We're going to get to you before you can get
the – they were getting there, the front seven.
They were getting there. If the Jags can do that, I guess they have a chance.
They do. No, you're right. They have a – I'm not going to sit here and say they don't have a chance. I'm not saying that anymore. I'm not saying that about Case Keenum. I'm not saying that about Foles. I'm not saying that about anybody. I actually picked Philly last week. I picked the Saints until this miraculous missed tackle happened. I would have been right. I would have been, except for your game. Mm-hmm. I would have been right on. I would have been 3-1. Still hurts me that I'm not. That I didn't go.
That's what hurts.
3-1. At least I didn't go 3-1. Well, if
what
I go 3-1,
what,
you
what
guys
am I
win.
Doing? Well, I got.
You
I got.
Guys, you guys would have won if I
waited 51 weeks for this rematch, and now I don't even get it. How do you think I feel? You're belly aching about your divisional round picks record. Let me ask you something. You mentioned Matt Patricia. We talked about this a week ago. On a human level, you said it's a business, Josh McDaniels, Matt Patricia, they're moving on, but all right, they know they have a task at hand. They're going to focus in. They're pros.
Right.
But don't you? I mean, listen, if I knew I were going to another job and it wasn't in L.A., it was in Chicago, let's say, I would at some point I'd be like, well, we better figure out where we're going to live. We got to what should we buy a house up there? What's the market like? Should we check that out? And by the way, who's our quarterback? There's no way that they're spending some time thinking about, like, wonder how Andrew Luck's going to be. Is he going to be healthy for me, or do I need to work around Jacoby Brissett? Aren't they thinking that on some level?
I think those are great things to have to worry about. If you get an opportunity to be a head coach in this league because you've worked under a system that's been successful for over a decade and you've had a lot of success, I think as an offensive coordinator, the first thing you want to look at is, what am I working with? You know, Kyle Shanahan went to San Francisco and he was like, wow, what do I have to work with? This is a total rebuild. And then a gift was handed to him, right? So, and then they start winning games. So now he's like, okay, I can work around certain things. If I'm Josh and if he possibly takes the indie job, you're looking at it like, wow, that's pretty cool. I get to work with Andrew Luck and build around him. And he's had multiple offensive coordinators that still haven't found out how to get this offense going. Mm-hmm. You know, it worked, you know, the Pep, you know, some of the stuff worked in college, but it didn't work in the NFL. So now they got to figure out how to put an efficient offense around him and protect him so he's not injured.
Look at you. You just did 3 minutes on that. You're not trying to prepare for the Jaguars simultaneously.
It's simple. And then if you're Matt Patricia, you're looking at, like, who expected him to get a head coaching job or be in it for a head coaching job this year?
Let me tell you something.
His thing is going to be, hey, if I go to the place where I think he's going, I already got a quarterback.
I know.
I already got receivers. I got to make sure this defense is right. I got to build a run game around that to take some of the pressure off of him. And we're going to be all right because we've got talent. We've got built-in talent already.
They're running back away. And they may, you know, build up the offensive line a little bit. But, yes, Patricia. But here's the thing. So we know he's in good with Bob Quinn up. There's a long-time relationship there. Right. And as Bucky Brooks always likes to remind us, fans from a distance tend to ignore the fact that there is a human element. Josh McDaniels makes sense with Chris Ballard. They've been kibitzing. It makes sense. Andrew Luck, you're a QB guy like Josh McDaniels. Work with Andrew Luck and or Jacoby Brissett, who you have a relationship with. That makes sense. What doesn't make sense to me, Willie, and I'm going to say it to you now.
Okay.
Let me just, that's my hypothesis. Reckless speculation. That's what I do. You know me.
You get reckless. You get reckless.
We have people here who go and they have sources and stuff like that. That's not my way. I go with my gut, Willie.
Okay.
Matt Patricia, he's been offered jobs. Hey, why don't you come be our head coach? Well, I'm busy. You know, Josh McDaniels, the time's not right. They're both gone. They've been gone for 3-4 weeks now. Why would they both be willing to just walk away from the dynasty? I'll tell you why.
Okay. This is interesting because I kind of know why, but I want you to tell me.
Because Bill Belichick is going to be the head coach of the New York Giants next year.
Not Pat Shurmur?
Not Pat Shurmur. What sense does that make?
Is that just smog? Is that just
New York? He's going to go to Manhattan. Pat Shurmur, like we just saw Ben McAdoo. They need
the profile.
We need someone who can hold the room. You're in Manhattan.
He fits the profile.
Shurmur does.
Yeah, he does.
Fine. He can fit whatever profile he wants. What
do
I
know?
Also, Ben McAdoo, in football terms.
Ben McAdoo is the offensive coordinator. He should have stayed an offensive coordinator. Like, to be a head coach is not for everybody.
Especially in the biggest.
Not for everybody.
Obviously, and especially not in the biggest market in America.
And dealing with those personalities.
That's what I'm telling you. I mean, Pat Shurmur's the guy to do that?
No. Hey, we'll see.
Let me just tell you. Don't we'll see me.
I'm listening.
All right. Now you heard it. I'm done.
Can I say this?
Period.
That's
the end of my statement.
Can I give you my hypothesis about it?
Period. Yes.
I think that when these coaches went to interview in the past, well, Josh more so than Matt, it didn't work out in Denver. Some things happened, didn't work out. Learning experience, you come back. And now when you go out and you interview with these different teams, the one thing you want to see is, can I build a system and create a system like the system I've been in New England? Are they going to allow me the resources? Are they going to allow me the freedom to be over football operations, to work and pretty much go in and do the things I need to do inside? A head coach is just not a guy that calls plays. A great head coach is somebody who can run an entire operation and can put people in place to run an operation from top to bottom. The color of the grass, what is the wind, what are we eating, the personalities, what systems are we running. Like, it's a lot.
I completely agree.
I've been learning this.
We've seen a lot of coordinators who just can't elevate because you got to be the man. It transcends your ability to X and O.
You got to have that control. Or you got to have a GM hand-in-hand like, you know, in Seattle, you know, with Pete and Snyder and those guys. We're on the same page with everything. So I think Josh and Matt has been waiting for some of those opportunities to happen. You mentioned a relationship in Detroit. It makes sense. You mentioned a relationship in Indianapolis. It makes sense. We're on the same page. You're going to allow me to do it. And we know here already the level of what we need to do and how we need to do it. Certain GMs and certain owners aren't on the same page. They don't want to spend as much money. They don't want to get rid of certain players. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that when they go out and interview, they ask these questions to the owners and they come back like, nah, not for me. I'm good. So there's a lot that goes into that.
Okay.
I'm
worried about Tom Brady. You know, he's going
to
be lonely next year.
They've got somebody in the
wings. Where'd everybody go?
They've got somebody in the wings.
Nick Saban.
No.
It's not Nick Saban.
Why would the king leave college?
I don't know why people do what they do because they have egos. I don't care. I would be like, if I were Nick Saban, I'd be like, I'll be the king of Alabama for the next three decades, and that'll be that.
One more win. He passes Bear Bryant. He's tied with him now. Why would you leave? You have everything you could ever possibly want. Control. Highest paid, best players.
I don't know. People, I'm not the one who always says, those college coaches, once they're successful, they want to see that they can do it on the highest level. I don't know if that's what Nick Saban wants.
I don't know.
Maybe Gronk could be the next head coach.
I don't know. I think he's
the Maybe he could be the new OC at least.
No.
No? All right. All right. You've heard my hypothesis. We'll see how that goes. All right. Before we let Willie go, any other important questions you're taking? Okay, so you're taking the Patriots. We assume that.
I'm taking the Jags first half, and I'm taking.
I saw somebody's head raise up back there. If he took the Jags,
I take the Jags first half, and I'm taking the Patriots in the second.
A rally from 12.
Yeah, I'm taking the Patriots.
All right,
second
and then
half.
Who wins in Philly?
I'm taking Philly, the underdog at home. Yes. The underdog at home.
If it goes that way, the football gods, you will not be able to debate I don't know what Belichick and
2004
Brady.
Rematch.
I know what happened. It should have been the Steelers. That would have been, that would have been great. America would have loved that game.
How do we keep getting back to the Steelers?
I don't know what happened there. That was weird how that happened. Hey, oh, yeah, Emma VP really did want me to ask you this. And I said, I don't think that's a good question for Willie, but she okay. really did want me to ask. Emma, do you want to ask it? No?
Emma, please.
Go ahead. Just ask him what you wanted him to, what you wanted to know from Willie.
Come on, Emma.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You said ask Willie if he thinks it's weird if he's the only guy, grown man, that he can think of that could get away with being called Willie.
No, it's Willie Willie.
That's way better.
Gotcha.
It's Willie Willie.
Are you glad you got the answer to your question,
Emma?
Yeah, thank you for doing that.
Emma, I know you run the show over here, so yeah. whatever you call me, I'm fine with.
Thanks, Willie. I appreciate
it. You got it.
There he is, the great Willie McGinnis. Have a good time with your friend Maurice up there. He's going to be up there.
Yeah, and he's picking the Jags. He's been right. He's been picking the Jags. He's been right.
You know what? Somebody suggested, the DDFB listener suggested he start going by Maurice Jones New because he knew – in Foxborough that the Chiefs were going to win that game. He's been right a lot this year.
Yeah, he's been lucky.
He also had his sons, his little boys, throw snowballs at Steelers fans last week at Heinz Field. So beware, Willie. Wow. Watch your back, man.
It won't be any snow. It'll be a high of 45, I think.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's going to be nice. It's going to be 51 at the Philly game. It's nice weather on the East Coast.
I don't care for that. I like it when it's nice and cold out there. But all right.
It didn't matter.
The great – yeah, I'm not like, you know, I bring you a cookie and instead I get a bitter pill. That's what I get in return. Nevertheless, all the best. Have a great time with your pals up there. See also about, it's also, I still think it's weird that in the Hall of Fame are the Patriots, like the revolutionary soldiers. That's who you're representing. And yet you wear, the jacket you get is a red coat. Isn't that weird?
No,
you fought the Redcoats.
The Flying Elvis is our mascot, not the.
I know, but you get that red coat.
Well, it's all part of the Patriots. You got it.
That's
whole
the other
theme,
thing.
The whole entire theme.
As soon as Brady retires, you agree we go back to the Pat Patriot look, right?
I love the Pat Patriot.
That's the way to go. That's the way to go. All right, we agree on a lot. We agree on Ramsey, on Gronk, and Pat Patriot. And I don't know. We're also both bummed about the Steelers not being up in Foxborough this week. Have a good time up there, McGinnis. Let's move along. Oh, I'll tell you, I feel more than ever now that my hypothesis about Belichick and the Patriots parting ways is true. All right, maybe not the Nick Saban part, but Giants, Belichick, it's interesting. Let's see how that plays itself out. Meantime, let's get to it. Eddie Spaghetti here with linebacker of the Denver Broncos and a swell fella, too. Brandon Marshall.
He's named Emma Jack.
All right, Sideline Spaghetti here with Broncos Super Bowl winning linebacker, Brandon Marshall. Brandon, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so me and you have something in common. My name is Eddie Murphy. Your name is Brandon Marshall.
Okay.
Now, everyone seems to know Brandon Marshall, the receiver, and Eddie Murphy, the actor, comedian. Yeah. But it's like, where's the love for us?
Right, absolutely. I mean, you know, I get missed from school for that guy almost every day of my life, honestly.
Yeah.
And it's quite upsetting.
Yeah, especially because, you know, you won a Super Bowl. I don't think Brandon Marshall, the receiver, no offense to him, I don't think he has a ring. You have the ring. And it's like, Eddie Murphy, you know, you're in movies. Wow, like, I'm doing silent reports here. So I think, like, we kind of probably win this one. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I definitely agree. You know, I don't see why they get you mixed up with him because, obviously, you know, you have more accolades. And
thank you. Yeah. Yeah. So speaking of the Super Bowl, it's coming up in a few weeks here, and like I said, you won one. If you had to give one piece of advice to somebody, maybe a younger player, somebody who's not been here, no advice for the Patriots, but like somebody who's on an up-and-coming team, what's like the one important thing you'd say, not even during the game, but leading up to Super Bowl?
Man, I mean, I've been to two Super Bowls.
Right.
The first Super Bowl was in New York,
yeah.
And leading up to the game, we were just excited to be in New York. It was my first time going to New York. We were sightseeing. I wasn't saying we wasn't focused, but, you know, it was a little lower focus than we went to San Francisco. So you got to focus leading up to the game. You know, stay in your playbook. Stay tuned because when the game comes, man, I mean, it goes fast.
So I'm from New York. What sites did you guys see? What was the best part about the Super Bowl? Because, like, people don't know. The Super Bowl in New York, yes, it's New York, but the game's in East Rutherford, New Jersey. So, yeah. But you guys were over in Manhattan.
I mean, we stayed in Jersey City, so then, you know, we just took the, you know, we drove over, you know, on the bridge, whatever. But, you know, the first two nights we didn't have curfew. So, you know, we went to a, some you know, went to go see some shows, you know, exotic dancer type shows. Wow, yeah. And, you know, that was fun. You know, I think that was a great part of New York that we experienced.
It's definitely a great city. But you're from Vegas, though, right?
Yeah, I'm from Las Vegas.
Oh, so all right. You're hanging out in New York City. You got that city like the back of your hand. I'm sure Vegas you know pretty well. The NFL is coming to Vegas, the soon-to-be Las Vegas Raiders. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that? Are you excited to play there, or are you more excited to have the opposing, you know, see how these other players from other teams come in and have, like, the Vegas flu?
You know, I'm excited to play there. You know, I mean, I think almost every player goes to Vegas in the offseason, but it's different living there, you know, when you have access to the Strip every day. So I'm interested to see how they're going to handle that. But, you know, I definitely can't wait to play in front of the home crowd.
What's your favorite thing to do in Vegas? If someone who lives there, I want to see if the answer is different than people like myself who have to visit there.
Oh, man. My favorite thing to do? To hang out with my family, really. You know, I hang out with my family a lot, my friends. There's a lot of stuff to do in Vegas.
Definitely.
You know, but I'm going to go with my family.
That's a good, nice, safe answer. All right, so I'll wrap it up here with this. I got to talk about your Broncos. There's two very, very good defenses in these playoffs right now, the Jacksonville Jaguars, Minnesota Vikings. When you guys won the Broncos, you guys had what people call one of the best defenses of this generation. Which defense do you think is similar to yours? Not calling them better, but which one is similar to yours or in style of play? Or do you think, like, hey, like our defense carried us to the host of the Lombardi Trophy. Which of those teams do you think has the defense that could do that?
Oh, man, honestly, I think Jacksonville. I think their defense was very similar to ours in 2015. You know, we had two special corners, actually three special corners, and they have three really good corners. We had edge rushers. We got to the ball. We had linebackers. We had safety. So I'll go with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they could definitely carry them to the Super Bowl.
I have to agree with him. This is the one and only Brandon Marshall.
Dave. Well done, Spaghetti. You ask the hard-hitting questions. And you also told Brandon Marshall all about your life story, which I think he was fascinated with as well, if I was hearing things correctly. Now, here comes Sideline Savvy catching up with Carolina Panthers linebacker Thomas Davis. Take it away, Savvy.
Dave. Dee-da-da-da-da-don-don. Dave.
All right, guys, Sideline Savvy here with Thomas Davis, linebacker for the Carolina Panthers. Thomas, we have something very important in common, and that's that we both went to the University of Georgia. So how are you feeling after Monday night?
A little hurt, but, you know, I'm excited about where the program is.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm getting over it day by day, but do you have any recommendations of, you know, how do you get over stuff like this? You know, with your Super Bowl loss, I know you're – in tune with this.
I think one of the things you do, you reflect back on the magical season that they had, and you go and you look at some of the recruits that we're bringing in, and you know that just recreates that excitement all over again.
Yeah, and you know, being from Atlanta, I don't want to keep you down too much, so the Falcons still have a chance to win the Super Bowl, so you know, that's exciting.
I knew you were about to say that, but I'm not very excited about that. You know, hats off to the Falcons, but I'm no longer a fan of them.
Oh, bummer. I hate to hear that. Well, you know, coming from that, there was Cam Newton. He's an impressive player on the field. Do you think he's on track for Hall of Fame?
I absolutely think that by the time it's said and done that Cam Newton will be a Hall of Fame player.
Yeah, and, you know, you guys have also had an incredible season in dealing with that loss on Sunday. But, you know, there was a big play. The intentional grounding. Do you think that Cam was out of the pocket?
Absolutely was out of the pocket. There's no way as a referee that you can make that call in that situation with, you know, what was at stake with the game being on the line. For them to make that call, I think it was definitely a horrible call.
Yeah, you know, that was a huge game-changing play. But now to get to the real facts, do you think Luke Kuechly or Cam Newton is more handsome?
I plead the fifth on that. I'm not answering that question.
No, you have an answer. No. Come on. No, you know.
You know what? The answer is me.
You? Yeah. Wow.
Can't you tell?
And, you know, that is a really hot take, but.
I got it.
No, you know what? Hey, Thomas Davis, more handsome than Luke Kuechly and Cam Newton. What you got to say about that?
Go dogs.
All right. Now, next, we've got the Panthers in an overhaul right now. So you got a lot going on. What do we think? How are we feeling about that?
You know, sometimes change can be good. You know, I feel like, you know, Coach Shula, he did a really good job for us. And Coach Wilkes, he did a tremendous job. You know, Wilkes is up for a few head coaching jobs. And, you know, hopefully for him being the man that he is, he will get one of those jobs. And, you know, we have a bunch of coaches waiting in the wing. You know, from a defensive coordinator standpoint, I feel like our linebacker coach, Al Holcomb, is a great candidate for that job. And, you know, hopefully if Coach Wilkes gets that job, he's going to get that one. But we've hired North Turner. You know, the guy's been really good in the league for a very long time, and I think he's going to be good for us as well.
All right, so exciting times. You got the support all over. No hurt feelings to Wilkes. You want to see him succeed.
Absolutely. I want to see Coach Wilkes do well, just as Coach McDermott left us last year to become a head coach, and he did well, got the Bills to the playoffs for the first time since the 90s, and expecting nothing but good things from both of those guys moving forward.
Yeah, and I think relating back to the University of Georgia, they had quite the overhaul a couple years ago, and we see where that got them in just two seasons. So maybe the same for the Panthers, but hopefully not too good as a Falcons, repping the Falcons. Ouch. All right, Dave, I think that silence sends it back to you.
Dave Demarchais.
Well, that's that. Our midweek title game special edition of the DDFP now in the books. We'll have another one for you, the Red Challenge Flag segment, picking those two title games along with Matt Money Smith, Handsome Hank Hodgson, Cindy Freeland, the rest of the crew. We'll be along later in the week for you. In the meantime, hope you're getting mentally right, you know, spiritually right. I don't know. However else you want to get right for the title games. Talk to you in a couple days with our final picks before these title games. Until then, it's been a thin slice of heaven.